Good morning. Welcome, folks. It's always lovely to hear that buzz as I stand up at the front. Always good as we gather together as the family of God in Railway Street, and to hear that buzz of conversation. And we trust if you're a visitor with us today, and we know we have a number of visitors, particularly those connected with those who are coming into membership. Today, we're delighted to have you, and we trust that you will feel the warmth of that welcome here as you share and worship in Railway Street Church today. Today, we're going to be celebrating the sacrament of baptism in a different way to how we often do it, but a way that we have always done it, even if that's not been seen in Railway Street in quite some time. And also, we're looking forward to welcoming new members into our church family, both on profession of faith and by transfer from other congregations. It's also good to welcome today. We have a genuine Guinness World Record holder with us today. Our guest drummer today is Ali Brown. Welcome home, Ali. It's lovely to have you with us. Many of you know that Ali broke the world record for continuous drumming. Remind me again how long it was, Ali? 150 hours. 150 hours. That's 2 3 years ago?
Yeah,
2 years ago. 2 years ago, and his hands have only now recovered from that, folks. And you're all saying, boy, I hope he's not going to be drumming here for 150 hours this morning. Lovely to have you with us, Ali. And like we say, welcome home. It's really good to see you. David, as you now present yourself for baptism, it's necessary that you sincerely give your answers before God and his church to the questions that I now put to you. David, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you trust in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior from sin and as Lord of your life? David, depending on the grace of God, do you promise to live as a follower of Jesus Christ, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit? And do you commit as a baptized member of the church to worship, serve, give, and participate fully in its life and witness? To the congregation, the question I ask you this morning is slightly different from normal. As we receive David into the fellowship of the church in Railway Street, do you promise to join with him in the life of prayer, worship, and service that we together offer to God?
Amen.
David, would you kneel there? David, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you now and always. Amen. We join together to sing the words of the Aaronic blessing, a blessing that was given to Moses' brother Aaron to use to bless the people of God in the Old Testament. According to Christ's commandment, David is now received into the membership of the Church of Christ. And as a symbol of that, David, I give to you the right hand of fellowship. Congratulations. Please be seated. Let's pray together, folks. Let's pray. Father God, we praise and worship you for the wonder of your amazing grace, seen in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We say with the Apostle John, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And so we thank you for this child of yours before you this day, Lord. His dearly loved son, we thank you for David. We thank you for your work of grace in his life, for speaking to him and calling him to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this special occasion where David has publicly declared his faith in you and in Christ's redeeming work on the cross. We thank you that he has received the sign of baptism, which reminds us of the promises of your covenant in Christ, the washing away of our sins, our ingrafting into Christ, and membership of his church, and of our regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen your servant and daily increase in him the gifts of your grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and power. May he grow daily in grace and in his knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may his life, his words and actions be a testimony to your grace. Bless him, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, and our Lord and Savior. Amen. Folks, we're going to sing a song together. David's requested for this morning. During the singing of this song, we're going to invite the children, junior youth, to leave us. We're going to take up our offering during this hymn. Folks, if you're a visitor today, we're not after your money. Just pass the plate along. This is for our own folks to make their offering. And then as we sing this, we're going to invite those coming forward for membership today to come and to join David and Rachel at the front. We're going to sing together, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." It's a real joy to be welcoming folks into membership of our church family today, whether in profession of faith or by transfer from another congregation. Those coming on profession of faith have been through a series of classes looking at what it means to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. They've met with me individually as we've then talked about their response to that. And then they have each met with representatives of our Kirk session, some of our elders who have heard firsthand the testimony of their faith. Kirk Session met on Wednesday evening and agreed to accept 10 new members on profession of faith and 2 by way of transfer. Some of them, the minority of them, were born and raised in this congregation. Others have been with us since they were teenagers. And others have joined us in more recent times. One of the lovely things hearing from those who have joined us in recent years is how the warmth of the welcome and the friendship here in Railway Street encouraged them to come back, to keep coming back and to come to this point. Not so many of them mentioned the preacher or his preaching, I've got to say, but they all mentioned the warmth and the welcome, and it says a lot about how important that is, folks. Many visitors decided whether or not they're going to come back here again long before they've heard the preacher, based on the welcome and the friendship that they feel. We can take that down for now. Thanks very much. We're pleased to welcome each and every one of them today. We're delighted that they've chosen Railway Street to be their church family. The 10 in profession of faith are in alphabetical order: David Arneil, Rachel Bethel, Stephen Davidson, Michael and Megan Francis, Mark and Neve Johnson, Daniel McGuckin, Peter Milligan, and Callum Patterson. Fortunately, Michael and Megan Francis are unable to be with us today. They're visiting Michael's family in England, but we'll be receiving them in the very near future. We're also welcoming by way of transfer today Colin and Janice Croft, transferring their membership from Mays Presbyterian Church. Folks, once again, I hope, like me, it is a real joy and encouragement for you to see so many taking this step. It's a sign that God is at work building his church in Railway Street. Those before us today are saying publicly that they believe not simply in God, but that they believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and Lord. And in taking this step, they are saying that they want to belong. They've all been regular attenders at Railway Street for some time, two of them since they were born. But in standing here this morning, they're saying they do not want to simply carry on simply as attenders or adherents. They want to enter into that deeper sense of belonging through membership. And I commend them for that. And finally, they're going to be saying today that they are committed, that they will be devoted to this church family, devoted to the Lord of the church, Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus said, "Whoever shall confess me before men, he or she I will confess also before my Father, which is in heaven." So folks, I charge you therefore to make confession of your faith and to answer with all sincerity, as in the presence of God, the questions I will now put to you. Could I ask you folks to stand? Could I ask you all again to stand with them? We'll start down at this end. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you trust in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior from sin and as Lord of your life?
I do.
Depending on the grace of God, do you promise to live as a follower of Jesus Christ, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit?
I do.
And do you commit as a communicant member of this congregation to worship, serve, give, and participate fully in its life and witness?
I do.
God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, confirm you to the end that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. For as much as you have confessed your faith, I do now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great King and Head of the Church, welcome you into full membership in Railway Street Congregation, and to the fellowship of the Lord's table. Folks, once again, we sing together the words of the Aaronic blessing. Just a handshake for my son. Come here. Daniel. Colin, welcome. Janice, welcome. Folks, please be seated. And let's join together in prayer. Almighty God, we praise you for the Church of Jesus Christ. Praise you for how the Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're still at work building your church to this day in every land. We praise you for making us part of that church of Christ, for calling us from our sinful and fallen state, and bringing us into fellowship with yourself and with all those who confess their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thank you for the privileges we enjoy as members of Christ Church, the encouragement and strength we derive from being part of the body of Christ. Lord God, today we thank you for those you have brought into membership in our church family in Railway Street. We bring them to you, both those who have professed their faith publicly and those who have transferred membership from another congregation. We thank you for each of their journeys of faith, for those who down through the years taught them in the faith, who instructed them in your ways and taught them your word. We thank you for those who have been their examples and guides. But most of all, we thank you for the inward working of your Spirit, drawing them from sin and self to trust in you as their Savior and acknowledge you as their Lord. We pray that you will keep them in your grace and goodness day by day. Give them your Holy Spirit to lead and to guide them. Strengthen them against temptation. Equip them for all life's opportunities and challenges. Be pleased to use them in the service of your kingdom. Hear our prayer, which we offer to you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the sole King and Head of the Church. Amen. Folks, thank you. We're going to sing together once again. As we do that, we invite you to go back to your seats. Now, in a change from what I told you, folks, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I'm going to ask you during the last hymn if you would come back up to the front, because I want then to invite people after the service to come and to have the opportunity to welcome you. So hopefully you're not too shy to do that, folks. But we're going to sing Holy Forever as we come to God's Word. I invite you to go back to your seats. Thank you. Thanks to Ian and our band for leading us in our music today. Folks, you would turn with me to the letter of Paul to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 15. There are a few Bibles in front of you. If you don't have a Bible with you, we invite you to turn with us to that. It's page 1141, the Pew Bibles. We've been working our way through the book of Romans on and off over these last 2 years. We're getting to the last stretch, folks. This is the penultimate chapter we're beginning this morning. So we're going to read from Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen, and we thank God for this reading from his word. To those who have come into membership today in Railway Street Church, I want to say to you once again, and thank you, welcome. Welcome to our church family. Welcome to our church family. We are an increasingly diverse church. We incorporate people of all ages. We come from a variety of backgrounds and increasingly from different nationalities. Some of you were born and raised in this congregation, but increasingly many of you were not. You've joined this church in more recent times. You've chosen Railway Street to be your church. Folks, we talk about this in the classes so that you know this before you come into membership and you can't claim afterwards I didn't tell you. Like any family, we all have our own unique personalities and quirks. Some of us are much easier to get on with than others. Some of us are naturally very approachable and we are open to give anyone a hug. Others are more reserved and even at times a little bit prickly. And that's just the minister we're talking about. We don't see eye to eye on everything. But while embracing a large and growing diversity, we seek, as far as it depends on us, to be a united church. As we've made our way through Romans chapter 14 and now into chapter 15, we find Paul concerned with the need to seek peace and unity in the church at Rome in the face of tensions and differences of opinion over secondary issues. And in verse 7 of chapter 15, we see Paul repeat the call that he has made earlier in chapter 14, accept one another. In spite of those differences of opinion on other issues, accept one another. Just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Wednesday evening, the elders in Railway Street, having heard of the faith of those seeking membership, wholeheartedly and enthusiastically and joyfully agreed to accept you as members of this church. And I trust that you feel that welcome and that acceptance again today. And that acceptance comes because having heard your stories of faith, we recognize that Christ has already accepted you. For some of you, that faith in Jesus Christ came suddenly at an easily identifiable moment in time. But for others, that faith has developed over time. Because you were born into a Christian family where you were taught and nurtured in the faith. But in each case, Christ has accepted you, and so as those who are also in Christ, we are warmly accepting and welcoming you today. As I've said, our readings in Romans in recent weeks have seen Paul's desire that the church in Rome should be united together, and we think once more upon that unity today. We see, first of all, the unity that God seeks, the unity that God seeks. We've seen that Paul's emphasis on unity comes from Paul's understanding of God's purpose for his church. The church in Rome was very diverse. And that diversity was leading to tension and even to the possibility of division, especially between Jewish and Gentile believers. And Paul will not countenance such a thing because he understands that unity is God's purpose for the church and it's Christ's prayer for the church. And so it's also Paul's purpose and prayer for the church. Let me remind you again of the words of Jesus. In John 17, we see Jesus praying for his disciples and for the church that would arise from their witness and missionary endeavors. Jesus said, "My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Unity in God's church was ordained by God in eternity past. We live in a world today that is marked by division. Division between nationalities, division between classes, division between different languages, all manner of things that divide people from one another. The Church of Jesus Christ is the only community on earth that can truly unite together people of every nation, tribe, and tongue. Because through faith in Christ, all find acceptance, all find welcome, all find a home. In the church, we see the reversal of what happened in Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel. Let me remind you of that story, folks. We read back in Genesis 11, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. But humanity in their sin and their rebellion against God sought to make a name for themselves, to exalt themselves rather than God. And they sought to build a great tower that would stretch up into the heavens. But the Lord came down. And the Lord confused their language so that they could no longer understand each other. And so the work in that tower stopped. And we're told that's why it was called Babel. Because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. But now in Christ, Those who were separated from one another, from different nations, and who speak different tongues are brought together and become one people in his church. That was and it is God's sovereign purpose. That is the plan that God ordained from the beginning. And Paul reflects that in what he says in verse 5. Look at verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give the same attitude and mind towards each other that Jesus Christ had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Church today is meant to give us a foretaste of what we will see and experience in heaven. As John recounts in Revelation 7, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Here in Revelation 7, we see a picture of that one holy, Catholic, universal church that we talk about in the Apostles' Creed. We see it there united together in God's presence before his throne, where they worship and sing praise to God the Father and to the Lamb, that is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That shows us our future, folks. You're a believer in Jesus Christ here today. You are part of that great multitude that will one day stand before that throne. It's talking about us. And all those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the reality that we'll see one day. And even though today the church is often marred by disunity and denominations beyond number, it is still Christ's desire and purpose and prayer that we will display unity so that with one mind and one voice we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul will not tolerate any idea that the church in Rome should break into two congregations, a Jewish church and a Gentile church. That would be a contradiction of God's purposes. That would not provide the powerful testimony of the unity that points people to the reality and truth of the gospel. And so in verse 1, Paul repeats his call to the church in Rome to accept and bear with one another, despite their differences on non-essential matters. We who are strong ought to bear with the feelings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. John Stott says, instead of causing others to stumble, tearing down or damaging our neighbor, we are to build him up. Edification is a constructive alternative to demolition. Kent Hughes says, we impoverish our worship and we offer poor praise to God by stubbornness and lack of love to fellow believers. But oh, how beautiful the worship is when we worship together in unity. And the quality of our unity, folks, either attracts or repels the world. They see unity and love, then that cannot help but attract people in. Folks, as in Rome in the first century, God's purpose for us in Railway Street in the 21st century is that we should be a united church. Where we accept one another as the Lord has accepted us. And where in essential matters of the faith we demonstrate and maintain unity. In non-essential matters we allow liberty. But in all things we exercise love for one another. We want to be recognized as a warm and welcoming church, a living and growing church, united as one family through our common faith in Jesus Christ, united in our desire to love and to serve one another. How do we achieve and maintain that unity that Paul speaks about? Let me suggest two ways that Paul mentions here. First of all, there's the example of the Savior. The example of the Savior. Look at verse 2. Each of us should please our neighbor for their good, to build them up, for even Christ did not please himself. Kent Hughes says, if you are prone to judgmentalism and exclusiveness, this is a big pill to swallow. If you're the kind of person who is so sure he is right and must have his way, you will not like this at all. Paul directs the Romans to the supreme example of their Savior, Jesus. Jesus is the greatest example of one who pleased God and denied himself for the sake of others. How is it that Jesus did not please himself? Paul sets that out most clearly in Philippians 2. Although being in very nature God, having the greatest right of all persons to please himself, yet we see the eternal Son of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped for his own advantage, but first emptied himself of his glory and then humbled himself to serve, became human. And his daily life on this earth, he showed his demonstration to please his heavenly Father rather than himself. John records Jesus saying this in John 8:29. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. John 4:34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. John 6:38, Jesus tells us, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And that determination not to please himself, but his Father saw him insulted and reproached by others and saw him eventually give up his life for us through being crucified on that cross. Paul quotes Romans 69:9. It's a prophecy of what would happen to Jesus. The insults of those who insult you fall on me. Paul is saying Jesus was rejected precisely because he lived the life of God here on earth. Kent Hughes says, could the whip and the nails and the weight of all our sin please any man? Whenever we crush the bread of communion between our teeth and swallow the cup of his blood, we cannot escape the fact that he did not please himself. And Jesus' example of self-denial is the pattern that we are called to follow so that we seek to put the needs of others before ourselves. To do whatever we can to contribute to the spiritual good and the material good of others. F.F. Bruce said, it is so for each man whose conscience is quite clear about some course of action to snap his fingers at his critics and say, I'll please myself. He has every right to do so, but that's not the way of Christ. Folks, look at any church where there are divisions. And so often that will have happened, not because of differences over essential matters, issues of first importance. It will have happened because people in the church are seeking to please themselves, to meet their own needs rather than the needs of others. We're to shape our lives together so that we contribute to our brothers or sisters' good and we seek to build them up. We are so good at tearing one another down. Criticize one another. We're called to build one another up. R.C. Sproul says this is the formula for Christian joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And when we seek to do that, when we seek to please others, to build them up, the product for us is not loss but gain. Because if we are doing that for others and they are doing that for us, then we're all being built up together. R.C. Sproul says, this is what heaven will be like. The saints will be of one mind and voice, singing together to the honor and glory of God. But that is also what the church in the world is supposed to look like. We've got the example of the Savior. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Secondly, we see the encouragement of the Scriptures. Paul's mention of Christ's fulfillment of Psalm 69 leads him into a brief digression about the nature and purpose of the Scriptures. Look at verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Yes, the Scriptures were originally written for a specific group of people at a specific time in history, but because it is God's unchanging, true, and living word, it also continues to speak to us as God's people here today. And that's why the word of God must always be at the center of our church's life and at the center of our worship together, because these things were written for us. And remember, of course, that the only scriptures the church had access to at this time was the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been put together yet. It's a reminder to us today that we do not do as some do and neglect the Old Testament to focus exclusively in the New, because we recognize that the Old Testament is also all about Jesus. It looks forward to and anticipates his coming. Jesus, on that first Easter day, he walked the road to Emmaus with those two downcast and confused disciples. And Luke tells us, he said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" What did Jesus do? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And so, friends, we need to devote ourselves, as the early church did, to the teaching of the scriptures. There's no substitute for that. We seek to do that every Sunday. We're encouraged to do it personally. We have opportunity in this church to meet with others in smaller groups. So let me encourage you today, whether you're a new member or an older member, if you're not already part of one of those groups, to join them, whether that be our discipleship groups meeting during the week, or an attender at our Bible discovery group on a Thursday morning, or if you're one of our young people going along to our senior youth on a Sunday evening, make that a priority. Verses 8 to 13, Paul musters a series of quotations from the Old Testament. They all call attention to the fact that the salvation of the Gentiles in the kingdom of God is not an innovation brought about by Jesus' earthly ministry, but that this was part of the purpose of God from the beginning. Part of the promise that God made to Abraham that he would become the father of many nations and that through him all nations on the world would be blessed. Verse 8, Paul says, Christ came as a servant to the Jews to confirm and fulfill those promises given to the patriarchs. To see the Gentiles were also included among the people of God. In verse 8, he quotes from 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18, as it is written, "Therefore I praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing praises of your name." Verse 10, he quotes from Deuteronomy 32. Again it says, "Rejoice you Gentiles with his people." Verse 12, he quotes from the Psalm 117, "Praise the Lord all you Gentiles, sing praise to him all you peoples." And finally in verse 12, he quotes from Isaiah 11. Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up. One will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him." And quoting these Old Testament verses, Paul is showing that it was always God's plan that he would save not just Jews, but Gentiles, and make them into one chosen and holy people. The very thing that Paul is urging the congregation in Rome to be. Salvation is for the Jew and the Gentile. And because it is, both groups are called to get along despite their differences on non-essential matters. Tony Marita says this, "It's important for believers to see petty squabbles in the light of glory of God's glorious plan of salvation. For the believers in Rome, this reminder about God's eternal plan of having a people from himself from among the nations should have made it inconceivable to divide over matters of indifference. The Messiah has come for the Jewish Christian as well as the Gentile Christian, for the weaker brother as well as the stronger brother. The appeal to unity then is not based on a thin foundation, but on the Lord's saving purposes." Friends, how do we create and maintain unity in the church? We do it as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, as we follow the example of our Savior and the pattern of his life of self-denial and obedience to God the Father. We do it as we remember the encouragement and the endurance that comes from the scriptures that point us to the fact that God would have his church to be a united community of worshipers who by his grace are able to love and serve one another despite differences of opinion on secondary issues. And as we seek to follow the example of Jesus Christ, as we devote ourselves to the scriptures, the ultimate result, Paul says, will be hope. The very quality that most strikingly distinguishes the true Christian from his unbelieving neighbor then and now. What's the great difference today? Our society, so many in our society have lost hope. Whereas in the church, we know hope. We know it in abundance. So Paul prays for the believers in Rome. And praise for us as believers in Railway Street today or from whatever church you've joined us from today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Gracious Father, once again, we've been left in no doubt as to your purpose, your plan for the church. The prayer of Jesus for the church was that we would be united as a witness to the truth that you are in us, that the gospel is true. Father, we pray that we would do all that we can, Lord, to protect that unity, that we would seek, Lord, not to please ourselves, but to follow that example of our Savior who lived to please you and to please others. May we love one another. May we serve one another. May we look not only to our own interests, but to the interests of others. May we, Lord, know that encouragement that comes from the Scriptures, the knowledge that these things were written for your people then, but also that they were written for us. May we be devoted to the teaching of those Scriptures, to the reading and studying of those Scriptures, so that you may speak to us, Lord, give us endurance and encouragement, and help us more and more to become the people you call us to be in Jesus Christ. So may we be known as a united church, Lord, united in Christ, united in those things of first importance, united in our love for one another, and may that knowledge attract others into the church, others who are seeking that belonging and that acceptance and that love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, let's finish by singing about our hope whether in life or death, it comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we join together to sing, "What is our hope in life and death?" Could I invite our new members, if you don't mind, to come back down to the front? Could I urge you folks at the end, take a moment to come down and welcome them and greet them if you can before you head out for tea or coffee.